This meeting is being recorded.
And good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining the Interoperability Standards Work Group. As a reminder, your feedback is welcomed, which could be typed in the chat feature throughout the meeting, or could be made verbally during the public comment period that is scheduled at about 11:55 Eastern Time this morning. So I'll begin roll call of our work group members, and when I call your name, please indicate you are here. And I'll start with our co-chairs, Stephen Lane.
Good morning.
Marianne Malik.
Good morning.
Kelly Aldrich.
Yeah, hi everyone.
Hans Butendeck. Thomas Cantalina. Christina Caraballo.
Good morning.
Grace Cordovana.
Good morning.
Stephen Eichner.
Good morning.
Sanjeev Chandan.
Good morning.
Raj Gadbarti. Jim Jurgis will be joining us a little bit later. Ken Kawamoto. John Kilbourne.
Good morning.
Leslie Leonard. Hung Liu.
Good morning.
David McCauley.
Hello.
Glenn McDonald. Mark Savage.
Good morning.
Michelle Schreiber. Abby Sears. And Ram Charam.
Good morning.
Good morning to everyone, and now please join me in welcoming Stephen and Arian for their opening remarks.
Well, as always, thank you everyone for showing up this morning. We really appreciate your engagement here on the meeting as well as in between meetings. We've just had fabulous participation in getting us to this point. We also want to welcome any members of the public who are joining us, and I see we have a number of folks coming today, some of whom have not necessarily been here in the past. So welcome to our work group. Just a reminder to members of the public that you can participate in real time using the chat feature in the meeting in Zoom. And you can also take advantage of the public comment time that we have at the end of the meeting to give your comments verbally. Any public comments entered in the chat to everyone or given verbally do become part of the public record. So they're a great way to provide input directly to the ONC process. We are going to be reviewing our draft report, which you were all forwarded, and a number of you took a tremendous opportunity to go through that and really add value. We got a lot of helpful edits. We're also going to have a walk-on topic if we have time. Ram Charam has brought forward a topic that we have not previously discussed. He has added that in our worksheet as item number 36, which we will hopefully have ready to display and discuss and see if it makes sense to us to try to squeeze that in at the 11th hour. And then we will have our public comment as noted. So Arian, do you want to add?
Yes. So again, just really thank everybody for all the work that went into the final transmittal letter. Let's spend the majority of our time getting through the transmittal, making sure that we're in good shape for the final transmittal to HITACH. And then, yeah, if we're able to get through the recommendations, find a recommendation draft, and find a way to put it into the transmittal letter, that would be good. My bias would be to ride with the transmittal as it stands, as our first option. And then, cause it gets a little sticky if we're adding a lot of things at the last moment, but, definitely, open to, you know, surgical modifications of the transmittal as it stands. But as I said, just, I think the transmittal came out, reading really well, very meaty, and that reflects all of the amazing work that this work group put into this process. And I think we're in great shape for our readout tomorrow. Or next week.
Tomorrow, next week, next Thursday. Week.
Thank you.
Thursday the 16th. Yes, that's indeed. Right. And we have started with the ONC team on a set of presentation slides that are really going to simply reflect what is in the transmittal letter. We are currently scheduled to have a meeting next Tuesday to potentially file any edges or polish any edges off of that. We'll see where we stand at the end of this meeting as to whether people think that such a meeting next week will be necessary. So with that, ONC team, do you guys have anything you want to add before we dive into the draft report, which should be ready to display, hopefully? Why don't you also tee up the spreadsheet in case we have time to get to Ram's recommendation for that as well.
Hung has a question right now.
Go ahead, Hung.
Oh, I guess it was a hando. Stephen, maybe we can just spend a little time on the executive summary because I think it gives a good overview. Yeah, it gives a good overview of how we've organized the whole thing. So, you know, in general, the transmittal has the front matter and the introduction, which is really focused on our charge. So the way that we've organized the transmittal in consultation with ONC is to separate the transmittal into three parts. The first two parts really are responsive to the ISA charge proper. The first set of recommendations address the process and structure of the ISA. And so, you know, these are the these are the pieces of feedback that we've heard along the way about areas where the ISA as a concept and the ISA in practice can be made more effective to stakeholders. You know, our reflections on the cross-cutting concerns and being able to pull out use cases that cut across different areas of the ISA section, how we coordinate with the USCDI, how we align with federal programs, and then in particular, our comments on how to better keep the ISA in track with work of accelerators and improve the overall usability of the ISA. So that's section one. Section two is the really the meat of the formal response to our charge, which is our specific updates for the ISA in areas, and you'll see the areas below, but this is where we track all of the information about making sure that the ISA reflects standard X, standard Y, use case Z, et cetera. And then we formatted the lab and order recommendations as a major section focused on sort of beyond the ISA, how do we better expand the use of ISA name standards in almost all of the cases. Each of the standards that we name in that section actually are tracked in the ISA. And it's just a reflection that despite that tracking, we have the opportunity to make major advancements in this area with a careful set of policy coordination. And we make recommendations relative to the policy coordination that we believe ONC could take relative to this area. So if you're sort of confused by the structure of the recommendations transmittal, hopefully this provides a little bit of an explanatory framework for how to read through the recommendations transmittal.
Any questions on that? Great. Again, we did have a number of you go through this in detail and provide helpful editorial comments, most of which we just reviewed and accepted because they were perfect recommendations. So if you read through this last night, you may notice a little change in commas or spacing or slight changes in wording, all of which was very much in concert with where the direction we were going and didn't really warrant the detailed review by the group. There are a couple of comments that are in the document at this point that I think do warrant discussion. So What I'd like to do, if we can, is kind of go through those as a starting place and address those with the group as a whole, and then allow people to raise their hands as they trip upon other things during the meeting. So with that, and with no hands up, I would suggest that we scroll down to the first comment, which is Grace's, which is on page 13. And it has to do with our recommendation number 9 regarding the HIPAA right to request corrections to one's medical records. Grace, did you want to comment on that?
Yes, and I was just going to try to pull up the policy levers. As I was reviewing this, I was just curious. I noticed that the policy levers aren't the corresponding policy levers that were in the work group's workbook were not included. Would it be helpful to pull that up and pop that in?
I think so. That would be what was included in the worksheet item 12, and the policy levers that you captured there really were ONC correction principle of 2008, the HIPAA privacy rule, the HIT policy meeting from 2011, and the 2015 edition of health IT certification. We certainly could, I mean, I don't think we need all of that. I think as we looked at policy levers, it was interesting, as we've done this in the past, and Aaron, you can add color here. We're really looking at what policies would ONC be leveraging. So this is different than background material, right? I mean, is there a CMS policy, an ONC policy at the CDC, what have you, that ONC could work with to try to bring this about? So I guess, yeah, in a sense, the HIPAA privacy rule is certainly, it's a policy of sorts, as are the certification criteria. So those could certainly be added. I think meetings that occurred, 11 years ago are less policy related. So I don't know, Arian, what do you think about this?
No, yeah. So Grace, I think when we looked at it, it felt more like policy background than prospective policy levers. And, it may be worthwhile putting back in as a preamble. So in some cases, we've put in the transmittal a findings or preamble to the recommendations. It may be worthwhile taking that material and putting it as a background preamble, noting that there's a HIPAA right to correction, noting that we've had previous work in this area with consistent recommendations, might be a good piece of background information to the actual recommendations that we're making.
Mm-hmm. I think what I would like to emphasize from what's been placed in the workbook is the fact that this has been discussed and there are policies in place and it's still not working in the real world in 2022. So I think that's what I want to emphasize.
That's right. So I think to our comments, I think that goes more in the way of a preamble to the recommendations than it goes in the realm of prospective policy levers.
Okay.
So maybe we can go offline and suggest a set of preamble text to the recommendations.
So Aaron, you're suggesting that would be sort of a preamble sentence or paragraph at the
Correct.
Top of that ISA content section,
mm-hmm.
As opposed to a background paragraph at the bottom of this particular recommendation.
That's right. So what we would do is, under the heading text, corrections to one medical record, we would put a preamble section because we've done this in a couple of other areas where it's important to have some context for the recommendations.
So Aaron, actually, I think I moved all of those down below the recommendations and called them background, just for ordering's sake. So Grace, I just added that background section there. Why don't you take a few minutes and sort of copy paste and polish up whatever, a couple of sentences you think are appropriate there. And then we can come back to that when we finish with the other comments. Okay.
Will do. Thank you.
All right. Next was a comment by Ike, I believe. Yes, we are on page 19 now.
David.
Yes, sorry. Mark, your hand's up.
Sorry, I had a hand up just on this point. The one thing I wanted to flag, if memory serves, is in the 2011 recommendation from the policy committee, there was a certification recommendation that a correction be passed on to others who had received the information. That strikes me as being important. I don't see it written out in the recommendations here, but I just flagged for Grace's in your consideration whether that particular point is worth somehow reminding, you know, getting back on the current playing field.
Why don't we see if Grace finds a way to incorporate that? I think it is worth noting. Thank you.
Yep.
All right. Any other hands? Seeing none, let's go back to Ike's comment, which again was, where was it, Ike? The first 19. One that I... 19. Yes, indeed. So this was in the recommendation 16 regarding lab orders and results, specifically the sub-recommendation 16A, recommending that ONC, in conjunction with partners, create and support a policy framework that encourages closed loop order to result communications and multilateral distribution of results, especially including to public health, using standards and comprehensive implementation guidance. So you had a comment there at the bottom.
Yeah, no, Ike's exactly right. So we probably should update this to note. If you go back up, sorry, we're right there. Perfect. So the comment is that the meaningful use promoting interoperability measures relating to electronic receipt of results were topped out. The ELR requirements are still there. So we should make this text a little more precise.
Right. To clarify, reporting to public health versus.
Yep, that's right.
So how are we going to fix that? I think we have time to just fix it here.
Yeah. So I think what we say is, while the associated meaningful use / promoting interoperability measures for incorporation of electronic results were determined to be topped out and therefore removed from the incentive program.
ELR reporting to public health still remains, or something like that.
Yeah. So that fixes, sorry, the first fix fixes the narrows the statement. Let's figure out how to put ELR back in. Maybe just a parenthesis.
Well, I think if you put it just a period for topped out and just have a second sentence that says ELR reporting to public health still remains as a measure.
Well, you got a while, so just structurally, you've got a while, while wants to. So maybe we just remove. Remove the while.
Wait, see if you like it now.
No, it doesn't. It still doesn't work because of the while. While wants to have a clause that that counterbalances the while.
So isn't that the ELR is still included?
The original intent of the sentence was, while it was topped out, we still don't have broad deployment of tightly constrained implementation guides. Okay. So maybe what we do is say, remove the while in the first, in the, yeah, no, it's still.
Yeah, no, I got it. I'm going to pull this out.
Suggestion on the first part to help set up ELR more. Is that the incorporation of the initial electronic results reporting to the ordering provider were determined to be topped out, not the ELR.
Yeah. For incorporation of electronic results to the ordering provider.
Correct.
Yeah. Good. I like it. So Michelle has an important comment.
I'm trying to figure out exactly what it is you want us to do, since we have the meaningful use program.
Yeah. So this is the first part is it, so we're not making any recommendations in this transmittal for CMS. Just we want to be super precise. The first part of this recommends that ONC, in conjunction with other federal partners, which absolutely would include CMS, create a policy framework that encourages, incentivizes, requires, or otherwise enables closed loop ordered result communication and multilateral distribution of results. Structurally, if you look at the CMS programs, the topping out requirements were in the day when the CMS programs were focused on provider physician behavior.
Right.
And there was a CMS measure about incorporation of results into the electronic health record. CMS, I think very rightly, has removed all of the measures that define basically clinical practice or physician practice in favor of measures that improve interoperability. Because of the confluence of those two kind of sea changes, we don't have any the second part of this is that we removed all of the certification criteria that weren't directly tied to CMS measures. And again, both of those decisions in isolation make total sense. And now we're in the place where we don't have any certification requirements for results, and we don't have any interoperability requirements related to any of the programmatics, including promoting interoperability, MIPS, ACO measures, et cetera. And so there is little incentive for labs and for EHRs to use the LRI and LOI implementation guides, except as it's convenient in the moment for their use. And so I think our general reflection is we're in a position where we have reasonable adoption of electronic results, non-standards-based or partially standards-based, poor adoption of orders, and a fair amount of friction in the system because of the need for cross-mapping at the LIS as well as at the EHR. So I want to be super precise that we're not in this transmittal making recommendations to CMS directly. We're making recommendations to ONC to work on a policy framework. One of the ways that one could enable policy would be to tie certification requirements to interoperability as opposed to physician behavior. And then the other corresponding way one might do this from CMS is to think about the CLIA requirements on lab. And we, you know, in our previous 2018 report, we made much more specific set of recommendations on policy levers. Here, we're carefully staying away from, you know, what policy levers one could use, and making more of a general framework to ONC to say, or general recommendation to ONC to say, create a framework. Michelle, does that help?
That is helpful. Thank you.
Yep.
So, Arian, you want to look at the text there?
I love it.
Are you happy with that?
Love it.
Okay. Hans, I got your space up above.
Steve, why don't in that last bullet point, ELR still included as a measure. This is that public health reporting measure in PI.
Okay. All right. We're happy? No hands? All right. Scrolling down to the next Ike comment, it is on page 21. I thought this was reasonable, but thought it was a little bit of a bridge too far for me to just accept without running it by the group.
The reason that I suggested the text edition was so that we avoided recodes throughout the system, so that yes, you were adopting low-income and relevant coding as early as possible in the process, and maintaining that usage throughout.
Yep, I think it's right.
Recodes.
Hans, what's your take? Or Hung?
Yeah, I think I agree with the intent that term usage could be stated that it must be used everywhere, which not necessarily is right, but we want to maintain that coded data keeps on going along with the result or the order, whatever it is, so that it can, by the next party can be used as well. There are internal purposes that that you want to use the internal code, because that's the one that really tells you a bit more than the industry code. That's why I'm concerned with what usage means.
How about this, Hans? I just updated it. Sorry, I don't think we're displaying. We should be displaying down on 22. There we go. Thanks.
Yeah.
You like that better?
I'm comfortable with that because then it's available and it needs to be persisted throughout the chain, but don't require that it's always used.
All right. No hands? Ike, you're comfortable with that?
Yes, absolutely.
Perfect. All right, and I think you had a couple more at the very end, Ike. We're down on page 26 here. And I thought that this addition, the unless phrase, I wasn't quite sure about that. I thought that might restrict us a little too far, because certainly the lab might be asked to pass on data that they did receive, you know, even though it should not be, you know, the bulk of it. It just seemed like it might be too tight a constraint. So I wanted to bring that forward.
Right. I think the concern here is that there are some situations where a patient may be interacting directly with the laboratory for submitting a sample, and there may be a relevant question that is related to the time at which the sample is being collected that is not necessarily relevant to the processing of the sample, but is still relevant from a public health perspective. So if that information is not collected at the point the sample is taken, what happens? Example, pregnancy as a status. You may have a lab order, you know, physician tells you on Tuesday, go get a lab test. You don't go till Thursday. You did not have a positive pregnancy test when you saw the physician. You got one over the weekend. You're now pregnant at the point the test was actually conducted.
So Hans, this was your recommendation initially. Do you want to comment on this?
Yeah, I would agree is that if the lab does not report it, does not have it available, then the question becomes who should pass it. Clearly, if they have collected it, they don't need to pass it. If the patient is a walk-on into the lab, then they are likely nowadays responsible to do that. But the question here is that are there other paths to get it to public health other than through lab reporting? And that's, I think, what we're trying to address here, that we should explore other pathways so that the data that is otherwise not needed for the performance of the lab test is not required at that point in time, once I have that alternative path, to go through the lab. And I think in that sense, I think we're in sync. I'm still looking at the text where the updates.
Yeah. So I think if I'm tracking all of this well, Hans, what we're asking for is for, as we have broad adoption of ECR in areas where ECR provides the clinical context for the result, we want ELR to focus on the transmittal of the result itself. I think Ike's comments are there are cases where the lab is collecting contextual information relevant to the lab, to the order and the result itself. And in those cases, we clearly should be transmitting that relevant contextual information.
Yep.
And so now we need to make the words, now we just need to make the words on paper say what we just say and agree on.
Thank you for that, Arian.
Yep.
So how do you like the text as it stands now, guys?
There's still something that I'm not sure about the word. The word unless is tripping me. That's where it's happening.
Yeah, that was sort of where I got stuck too.
Maybe we just say, yeah, maybe we just strike the unless and say as a third sentence, these recommendations would not apply when the lab is the entity directly collecting contextual information relevant to the result.
Or when ECR has and can and has taken care of it. Because if there's no ECR and lab is not collecting it,
yep.
then it is the only path that can be done. I'm trying to see is that ECR can be, and only if lab themselves collect the data, because the patient shows up, never been to a doc.
Arianne, why don't you take a stab at it? I'm sure. getting a little discombobulated here. While you're working on that sentence or those sentences, Steve, the other thing that you included here, the last sentence, information necessary for accurately matching submissions must be included in all relevant messaging. I mean, I think that kind of goes without saying, but I also think it kind of goes beyond the initial intent of Hans's recommendation, which really had to do with kind of separating out and drawing a brighter line between ELR and ECR. So do you, how attached are you to that sentence?
Well, I think the challenge from the public health end of it is that we're interested in both the lab report and the case report data. And if they get separated, we need to confirm that there's an easy way of linking them back together.
Agreed.
Okay, if Hans likes it, I like it.
So that we're not to a point of, oh, we've got a patient name and address and we're making another guess about matching the record.
Yeah, it goes to quote unquote unique patient identifier / matching that we have to figure out a way that the records can be linked up. Completely agree. Not easy, but it needs to happen.
Okay. Arianne is still in his workshop working on that red text. So perhaps we will come back to that and scroll back up to Grace's work. Woohoo! looks like you got it all there, Grace. That's certainly not going to fit into our slides.
I put in, I don't know what to remove. So I put it in, but happy to have whatever needs to be removed. I don't know if even you need the reference links in there.
Yeah, we don't have a, we do have some reference links actually in some others.
I noticed
so,
that.
Yeah. Essential, so. I'm just sort of one. I mean, this is rich. I don't think it's going to make the slide deck, and that's okay. We can just, you know, when we get to this point, we can voice over, you know, that there's a lot of background work that's been done here, and it's all in the document.
I have to say, I don't know if I feel comfortable removing all of it. I'd like some reference to something. And as you said, it is rich. And I feel that from the patient and care partner perspective, a lot of this is frequently glossed over. So I just don't want it to be glossed over. Mm-hmm. I want it to be historically captured that there is this presence of information and that it doesn't get sort of lost in translation.
And then do you have these in roughly chronological order?
The only one, they are in chronological order. The only one is the last bullet. I was asking Mark, here's his link. So that's July 25th, 2011. Okay, I can move that one around. I guess that would be after the third bullet.
Yeah, why don't we put them in chronological order, clearly identify the dates associated with each. And then what we can do in the slides is, you know, perhaps have two slides on this, or at least two slides on this, these four sub-recommendations. So probably there'll be the first recommendation, the next three, and then the background would be, so I'm picturing three slides for this recommendation.
Thank you.
Anyone have any thoughts about that approach? So we are going to update this. Aaron, are you going to be back with us soon with that that sentence?
Still working.
Right on, man. Okay. All right, that actually does bring us to the last of these submitted comments in the document. You're working away, I see that. Okay, good, we'll come back to you. Anyone else, as you've been listening to this discussion and perusing the document, hopefully on your other screen, anybody have any general or specific comments that they'd like to propose? Anyone on the work group, anyone in the public? Remember, you're all welcome to chime in. This is your great chance. All right, hearing none, we are gonna leave Arian to his toil. And if you don't object, Arian, I'm gonna invite Rom to present his walk-on suggestion.
Yeah, I think it would just be worthwhile to do a last call to the work group to note that, you know, we're down at the bitter end. As you noted, it would be useful to either cancel the next work group meeting or to focus the work group meeting on the accompanying slideware that will accompany the transmittal. So, you know, this is really by way of this is the opportunity to have your last say. Otherwise, this is the copy that we intend to carry forward to the full high tech.
And I'll also note in that context that we've got a really good track record. The high tech has liked our recommendations, and Mickey has liked the high tech recommendations thus far. So, you know, this is as close as one gets to a direct route to the OSCs here.
I'm done with the draft text.
Terrific. Okay. So for the displayer, we'll drop down, maybe that's Denise, down to 26 again and try to tackle that. All right. And we'll just continue to look for hands. Okay. So now you want to walk us through this, Arian?
Sure. So, you know, two main changes. Number one is our context is where ECR is adopted, comma, laboratory should not be encumbered, yada, yada, yada. And the second is, you know, the inclusion of this for clarity sentence. These recommendations would not apply where an ECR is not available or where the laboratory itself is the source of contextual information. And we give a couple of examples of direct to consumer or information collected at the specimen collection itself.
Thumbs up.
Ike, is this responsive to your comments?
I think we're there.
Good.
Going once, going twice. All right, we're going to change the text color. Go crazy. All right, ONC team, are you guys comfortable with everything we're doing with our process, et cetera, up to this point? Any concerns?
No concerns.
Wonderful. All right. Grace, thank you for doing your reordering there. Appreciate that. And I just want to... Okay, good. And we'll figure out how to move that into slide format. And Rom, let's pop over to the spreadsheet, if we can do that. You will all notice, if you want to pull up the spreadsheet yourself, that we've sort of hidden the rows of the items that we incorporated elsewhere or decided not to address. So we just have in the spreadsheet now displaying all of the purple, which we've now incorporated into our report, except for this item number 36 regarding EHR decision rationale, which Rom raised just recently. Do you want to walk us through that, Rom? I hope you're still with us. There you are. You might be double. Muted. I think you're double muted.
Yeah, can you hear me now?
Now we got you. Go ahead.
Okay, okay. I think it's some, for some reason randomly took me to somewhere else. Microphone. Automation. Yeah, again, this is Ram here. I'm from NIST. And the my comment is more about the future of what's going to happen for EHRs, because people are talking a lot about AI and those kinds of things. But what we have so far actually been doing is mostly in terms of the past and present, what has already been done, and we're trying to incorporate that and see how this could be interoperated, at least at the syntactic level. I mean, you know, interoperation has both the syntactic and semantic kind of things involved in there. And some of the things that that we have put in there also has semantics associated. But in the future, you know, when AI, when you're making decision making, when the AI systems are helping EHR to make certain decisions about, like, for example, I gave you ulcerative colitis, the GI person comes up with a particular diagnosis and wants to send that particular information to the internist. How does one go about doing that? How does one go about record that in the EHR, and how can you transmit or communicate it both syntactically and semantically to the internist, our EHR? To do so, we have to incorporate this whole concept of design decision rationale. And that's what I was proposing on, that's all.
And we're having a little trouble with the display, Ram. So I took and copied your draft recommendation from the spreadsheet into the public chat so people can see it there. So you included a little background text, very brief, fix this. Sorry, I'm losing it here. Okay. And that recommendation. So again, this is an 11th hour suggestion to add this.
But as I mentioned, it's something for the future to think about. We may not be able to do it right now.
Right. This is really the notion that in the ISA, that ONC would track this as a use case.
Yeah, that's all. I mean, nothing more than that.
Yeah.
Because I think, I mean, especially with what's going on, what's happening in AI world right now, and I've been working in AI for about 40 years or so. So this is based on some of this background. And I think explanations are going to be extremely important in the medical field. And especially so if you want to increase the trust in the decision making. And if you do that, then you got to kind of relay that to the appropriate stakeholders, why a certain decision has been made. And you know, then you can track the decision making and all kinds of things.
Marian?
I'm struggling right now with how we format this as a, so we have a set of recommendations structurally where we want to list in the ISA a use case, that we want to track a use case to a standard. So those are the easiest recommendations for us to add. Are we recommending that ONC track a use case in the ISA? Are there standards that we want to name in the ISA? So you know, in the area of decision support broadly, we do have CDS hooks and other means for incorporating the results of decision support, whether through traditional means or through AI, into the EHR. We also have ISA standards for data extract and data availability to feed ML models, AI ML models. The area that seems to be missing in the AI space is, you know, ethical use or ethical guidelines for, you know, creation of AI ML models. But it's not clear to me if that's an ISA standards add, or it feels more like a policy add. So that's where I'm getting stuck here. Is I agree with the sentiments. I'm stuck with how we format this in the transmittal as a request to ONC to track something in the ISA. Grace, you have your hand up and Hans has his hand up.
I have to gently disagree. This isn't necessarily new. We have touched on this in previous discussions, also in the USCD I task force work. This is something that was submitted in OnDeck. I did post a link to it. It is at comment level that the output from any AI, ML, NLP powered predictive analytics that are considered clinical decision support tools at point of care, that the output technically, if it is used to guide decision-making about an individual's care and care coordination, should fall under all EHI. And I've spoken to ONC numerous times about this. I have not gotten really clarification, but if it's being used to guide patient care, it seems it would be part of the designated record set, and it certainly could be information that could be exchanged.
Yeah, I would absolutely agree with you that because the DRS includes anything that is patient specific that's used to guide care, then a conclusion would be if the output of an AI model is patient specific and used to guide care, it's part of the DRS. That's a policy recommendation. I'm going super, super narrow policy focused. We're making a set of recommendations relative to the ISA. And so with the exception of our free ranging lab and orders results, which we spent a lot of time trying to figure out how to format and make as extensions to the ISA, I'm trying to figure out how to make that comment an ISA related comment. Because I agree with the sentiment. I agree with the perspective. It doesn't feel like it's the place of this work group to make those recommendations. Hans, maybe you can rescue me or David can rescue us and put together a policy framework where we can fit this in.
I like the intent behind this to have clarity on that, and if so, how one would document. But I think that more discussion is needed. For example, is it only decisions that were suggested by AI that then are documented further on how that was done, or is it any decision by a clinician? What is the scope actually? Because the current language that is suggested that could include all decisions that are made by clinicians to provide encoding and of the decision rationale that they use. Yeah. So I think there's a bit more work to be done. And then the question is that where was the AI or the NLP or otherwise invoked, quote unquote, automatically, and where were they actually truly decision support tools based upon which clinicians make decisions? So I think there's a lot to be worked through, not disagreeing with that. Once you have that information associated directly to a patient, highly likely that it becomes EPHI.
Hans, I think I'm now vectoring in the right way. The specific request is to make sure that the output, we have a CDS hooks or other mechanism for incorporating decision support into the EHR. We need a corresponding mechanism, and maybe David will tell us this is already part of CDS hooks, and I believe it is because you get cards which can be incorporated into the EHR. We need a clear standards mechanism by which the output of decision support, that is the tailoring of the decision support algorithm to the patient, can be incorporated back into the EHR. Is that, first of all, Ram, is that the framework that we should be thinking about your recommendations in?
I mentioned that recommendation is not so much as the present, because there's a lot of work which has already need to be done, as you can see. Okay, so we don't know how ONC is going to deal with this. Something we have to make them prepare them for the future. That's what I'm looking at. And again, following Hans' comments, yeah, this involves all decision making in there. And I used AI as an example there. So that means that it's a lot of work that someone has to put in. Someone has to come up with this entire representation scheme, and nothing is out there except in bits and pieces. So that's my intent is not so much as to say that you have to put this in this particular document. It's more just to put it on the table to discuss.
Yep. Okay. David's going to have the magical solution for us.
Well,
Can we, I'm sorry, in the display, can we pop back to the document on page 18 where I've been trying to sort of capture some of this? And maybe we can work there. First, I think we have to make the decision. Do we add this? Do we attempt to add this at the 11th hour? And if so, what does it say?
My take as a fellow co-chair would be if we add it, we add it relative to tracking standards for encoding the output of decision support, including decision support that uses AI and ML, where that output includes the rationale for the recommendations. David, having said that.
I think, Arian, that should be good.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is David. I think that's the way I'm thinking about this is in whatever section of the ISA documents clinical decision support standards, there is an emerging use case for tracking and standardizing the explainability, which I think is the term that's being used in the AI community, explainability of AI recommended decisions. So you've typically increasingly got black boxes, and a clinician or a patient might wish to know, why did the black box recommend that I not receive treatment or that I receive treatment? And the research is, I think, you know, still quite young and quite active. So there aren't emergent standards that I'm aware of, but there will in the long run need to be ways to explain and track the explainability of a particular decision recommendation. So I think it's future. I think, you know, Arian, if you want to turf it to the next instance of the ISA, we've done that in the past, you know, track things for future.
I think this is good. I think this recommendation is narrow, it's targeted. It feels like something that ONC can make action on. There is a you know, an existing standard in, you know, provide access to appropriate use criteria in the ISA that refers to CDS hooks already. So it feels like a natural extension. Yeah, it feels like a natural extension to the existing CDS content structure recommendations in the ISA.
Right. Yeah, there are a number of clinical decision support standards tracked in ISA, not just CDS hooks, which is really more of a delivery mechanism. I'm happy with this language. I think it's just a placeholder for work that will emerge in the future, and that's not a bad thing to put in CDS hook. So, I mean, in the ISA, so someone who's trying to get up to speed on what's going on in clinical decision support would be aware that there's an emerging recognition of the need for explainability.
How about the language? Anybody want to take a stab at that if they need to?
It looks good to me.
My only concern is the rationale for recommendation. It's really the rationale behind the recommendation. It's not should you have made this recommendation. It's why did you make this recommendation?
Yeah.
So have at it, David. Which bullet are you on?
This should include the ability to standardize, document, and display the rationale behind recommendations generated by.
So one comment that was made is, again, Ram here, that this should be for both AI and human decision-making. That was the one, I guess someone made. Arian, you made that comment on that? Because it's even for human decision-making, how do you know why they made the particular decision?
Well, so it's traditionally, decision support has been through rules, encoded rules, and then increasingly, decision support is via AI ML algorithms. In each of those cases, not just the recommendation, but also what we're calling the rationale or the explanation, the explainability of the recommendation should be included, and we should make sure that our stand. I think what we're calling for is making sure that we track the need for incorporation of both back into the EHR.
And certainly, when you think about human decision making, I mean, clinicians who make decisions are already trained to document, you know, as part of their clinical documentation, that their decision-making process is required for certain, you know, billing and coding. So I don't think we need to track that in the ISO per se.
That's right. It's areas where we have rule sets that are encoded by humans based on, evidence-based guidelines, where those rule sets need to include not just the decision, but also the rationale. And, you know, typically that rationale, you do this in e-prescribing, you do this in appropriateness of use criteria. You do this by providing evidence for the specific decision. Grace has a comment.
I just have a question and would like to clarify. There's a number of comments too, and the understanding is that the information is already there. But when we talk about there, it's not patient facing, it's not individual facing. This is all internal information that is available at point of care, mostly to physicians. It's not readily available to patients. So I think that's another piece. And is that something that's relevant to emphasize here, that it needs to become patient facing, transparent information?
Well, I think, Grace, we can get that by encoding, communicating, and documenting. Because to your point, when the output is documented and charted, it needs to be, because it is part of the DRS. When it is documented and charted, it is. You know, then you have the policy hook to be able to provide it back to the patient as well.
Yeah, I added a sentence at the end here, trying to capture some of that.
Yeah, I see this as upstream of the decision on how to use this data. This is how do we, you know, can we state that we expect black box decision support to be able to offer an explanation for the recommendation? And I think that's,
and again, not to over constrain how you would do this, but the output of a CDS hooks process includes a set of cards. Those cards can and should include not just the recommendation, but also the explanation for the recommendation, and that those cards can and should be incorporated into the EHR.
And Aaron, where CDS hooks are used, those are capabilities, but this area of decision-making supports, et cetera, will not be limited to the use of CDS hooks. And there will be many other places where there are capabilities that are being used that generate orders, diagnosis plans, suggestions, otherwise. How did you come about those that I might have invoked in many different ways?
No doubt. And again, where I'm trying to get this down to is recommendations that go into the ISA. Where you want to name a use case, and then you want to name standards and implementation guidance that are associated with that use case.
Yeah, and in that context, I put in the chat, I think, need to look a little bit further, but that evidence reports and one other one, variable in fire might be standards to reference then as well, to say that there might be something that, but that needs to be followed up on to see are they indeed applicable?
Yep, okay. Cool. Stephen is walking on a tightrope wire now.
I'm doing the best I can here. Okay. How do you like that? How do you like them apples?
Yep.
I like it.
Yep.
Okay, our existing standards, better still. Okay, let's see, John Kilborn, you've been commenting. Are you comfortable?
Yes, I'm comfortable, thank you.
Wonderful. And Andrew, you've been chiming in also from the ONC perspective. You have any concerns about this? Thanks, Raj.
No concerns at the moment. Thanks.
Awesome. Anybody else? Hands?
Yeah, Stephen. One thing is that where it says there are existing standards, mm-hmm. maybe clarify a little bit further. There are already some existing standards because it's not complete.
Okay.
But there's something emerging there that we want to look at.
Okay. Good. Well, Ram, thank you. Thank you for your willingness to bring forward this topic as you have. All right. Have we anything else from the things we've touched on? I'm looking up above. Oh, Christina. Oh, we got some more spacing and wordsmithing. Thank you very much for going through those. I don't think we need to discuss those. We'll just accept your changes. Looking up further, I don't see any other recommendations in the document. Gonna fix some font color here. All right, this is looking pretty good. I want to specifically and directly thank Arian for a lot of hard work on the background and executive summary and pulling that organization together. That was very helpful, I think.
That's how the sausage is made.
Indeed. You can work in my butcher shop anytime. All right, Hans needs to jump. I think we may be finishing early today, which is totally fine. We will be working with the ONC team to turn this into slides. Does anybody feel a deep and abiding need for us to meet next week? Or can we work on these slides, you know, through the next, you know, 48, 72 hours, and then get these out to all of you for review and try to manage that electronically if we can through the end of this week and over the weekend, and then only meet as necessary, with the caveat that I may miss next week, even if you do meet, because I'll be at my daughter's wedding.
First of all, congratulations. Secondly, I would encourage the work group to do a one last read of the document with a critical eye. I'm sure there are typos. I think we can send the transmittal accompanying PowerPoint deck via email for the work group's review. If there's a substantial demand to meet next week, I am more than happy to conduct that session and, you know, walk the work group through the accompanying PowerPoint deck, but really at the work group's discretion. But hearing no pleas for meeting, I would propose that we just do this via email, an offline review.
I'll also remind everyone that you are more than welcome and invited to join the high-tech presentation discussion of this on the 16th of June. We, like these meetings, I think there's a public chat on the high-tech. Mike, correct me if I'm wrong.
Yes, there's a public chat, and there's also a formal public comment period.
Public comment.
This call.
So, lots of opportunities for engagement.
If this helps, the way I heard Stephen's comment was to leave it on the calendar, but only have it if needed, rather than to cut it off the calendar right now.
Works for me. We will leave it on the calendar and cancel it on Monday, unless there's a substantial call to meet.
All right. And just FYI for the group, we've had input from various group members, you know, who have and have not been able to participate, you know, expressing their support and enthusiasm for the work that's going on. Clem in particular, you know, sends his regards, but and has been tracking our work from afar. All right. With that, why don't we close the meeting? ONC team, why don't we all plan to have our follow-up meeting now to get that done instead of waiting another half hour? Is that okay with you guys?
Public comment.
We do need to have our
Public comment. I'm sorry. My bad. Public comment.
All right. If you are on Zoom and would like to make a comment, please use the hand raise function, which is located on the Zoom toolbar at the bottom of your screen. If you're on the phone only, press *9 to raise your hand. And once called upon, press *6 to mute and unmute your line. And let's see if we have any public comments. Not seeing any, so I'll turn it back to our co-chairs.
All right. Well, and again, thank you to the various members of the public who've been here and been listening and following along. We appreciate your participation. And thank you all to the workgroup members. If this might be our last meeting, I believe. We do not have a plan, as far as I know, to meet after the high-tech meeting, do we, guys?
Don't believe so.
21st? No. Okay. So again, if this is indeed the end of our time together, huge thanks again for everybody's time and participation. I think we did our work. I think we've come up with a really nice set of recommendations, and I will be proud to join Arian in presenting them to the high-tech next week.
Thanks, everybody. And please do tune in to hear the festivities. Hopefully we just bore everybody with the elegance of our we overwhelm everybody with the elegance of our recommendations, and they and we have no debate and comment.
Arian, Stephen, this is Steve Eitner. Thank you so much for your leadership for the workgroup's activities. I think we really produced some good work.
Absolutely, I think it's a testimony to the group and to all of the fantastic input, and also to Stephen Lane's amazing stone soup method for crowdsourcing recommendations.
Everybody have a great day. And Arian, let's you and I jump over and meet with the ONC team now.
Good.
All righty. Bye-bye.